The Jared Stillman Mock Draft 2.0 special is on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So here's where we are. Number one, Caleb Williams goes to Chicago. Number two, Drake May to Washington. Three, Minnesota trades up for Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Four, Chicago trades up for Marvin Harrison Jr. Five, the Chargers go Malik Nabers. Six, the Giants go J.J. McCarthy. Seven, the Titans trade the pick to Arizona for Rome Odunze. Eight, Atlanta takes Dallas Turner. Nine, the Titans take Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. 10, Brock Bowers. I think I said out of Michigan earlier today, by the way. It's Notre Dame. 10, Brock Bowers, UGA. 11, or to the Jets. 11, New England goes Olu Fashanu. 12, Denver takes Michael Penix Jr. 13, the Raiders take J.C. Latham. 14, New Orleans take Thalise Fuaga. 15, Indianapolis goes Quinyon Mitchell. 16, Seattle takes Troy Faletanu, which puts Jacksonville on the clock at 17. Jacksonville can't believe it. Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU is available. They're looking at their board. They're saying, wait a minute, is this the... He is the perfect replacement for Jacksonville for Calvin Ridley. Yes, they signed Gabe Davis, but this is a dynamic wide receiver that they can draft, that they can develop as to the eventual go-to guy for Trevor Lawrence along with Christian Kirk. Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, he falls a little bit because we had that run on quarterbacks. Five quarterbacks are off the board, which means somebody has to fall back. Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU has fallen back to Jacksonville at 17. Cincinnati is on the clock at 18. Amarius Mims out of Georgia is a slam dunk for Cincinnati at 18. Cincinnati has two tackles right now. They've paid Orlando Brown Jr. a boatload of money to play the left side, even though he might traditionally be more of a right tackle. And they've got Trent Brown, the big old fat boy who's on a one-year deal from the Patriots, because last time he got a long-term extension, he got up to 400 pounds. The idea here, Mims, who is very inexperienced at Georgia, goes to Cincinnati where he'll play a lot in the preseason. And Amarius Mims will develop on the bench for about the first half of the season, and then he will take over at right tackle for Trent Brown and maybe even be the long-term left tackle for Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. He's a little bit of a project because of his inexperience, but that's fine for Cincinnati, who already has two starting tackles. Amarius Mims at Georgia goes at 18 to Cincinnati. The Rams are on the clock at 19. Byron Murphy II, the best defensive lineman in the NFL draft, goes to the Rams. Why? They've got to replace Aaron Donald. You do not lose Aaron Donald and just wing it in order to get back. They hit on some picks last year, including the kid out of Tennessee, who I think led all rookies in sacks. They're good on the edge. They need a guy in the middle. Byron Murphy out of Texas is that guy for the Rams at pick number 19. Again, I don't like saying slam dunk, but right there, they've got to replace Donald. He's the best guy on the board, and he goes to the Rams. Pittsburgh, with no quarterback, is on the clock at 20. Pittsburgh also doesn't have a center, which will allow them to take Jackson Powers Johnson, the number one center in the draft, out of Oregon. Now, look, I'm friends with Oregon's offensive coordinator, Will Stein. I asked him about JPJ. I said, tell me about this guy. How good, you know, can he be? How? He said he is going to be a great player. Now, look, he's also probably a little biased, but the Steelers need a long-term option at center. And now that we're outside of the top 20, this is the kind of place where you can take a center. You can take an interior offensive lineman. Because now we're getting to, okay, give me guys that are maybe not at the premium positions, but can start right away. Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon goes to the Steelers at 20, and he will start and play right away. 21, the Dolphins are on the clock. We have a trade. Dallas trades 24 and 87 in the third round to move up to 21 to jump Philadelphia to draft Tyler Guyton, the defensive tackle out of, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. The Cowboys need help on the offensive line. Tyron Smith leaves. There's talk about, okay, what do we do? Do we move Tyler Smith out to left tackle? Do we maybe draft a guard a little bit later? No. Jerry Jones, if you look, they invest heavily on the offensive line. They will continue to do so. They will draft Tyler Guyton, and he will be on their offensive line. They want to get ahead of the Eagles, who are looking at a long-term Lane Johnson replacement. So Dallas jumps him with Miami, gets to 21, and takes Tyler Guyton before Philadelphia can draft him to be their right tackle. But that's okay, because Philadelphia is sitting there at 22, and they're going to make this pick. They're going to run this card in to the commissioner. Philadelphia can't believe it. Terrion Arnold out of Alabama is still on the board. Some people think he is the best corner in the draft, and somehow he's there at 22. We saw that Philadelphia secondary at the end of the year, specifically in that playoff game against Tampa Bay, where, look, the older guys, Bradbury, Maddox, Slay, I mean, they just... It's time to go young, and with Terrion Arnold on the board, I mean, I just don't. Somebody explain to me here how Philadelphia can't take Terrion Arnold. So here we are again, picks 17 through 22. Jacksonville goes Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Cincinnati goes Amarius Mims out of Georgia. The Rams go Byron Murphy II out of Texas. Pittsburgh goes Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. Dallas trades up with Miami to go Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. And Philadelphia goes with Terrion Arnold at 22, the corner out of Alabama. New England is on the clock at 23 because they made that trade earlier with Minnesota. Minnesota traded 11-23 in their first next year. The Patriots have already used the 11th pick on Olu Fashanu. What do they do at 23? We will do that next as we continue and wrap up the Jared Stillman Mock Draft 2.0 on Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Hey, join the National Super Speedway in the city of Lebanon for Speedway on the Square tomorrow from 1 to 6 in downtown Lebanon. Stop by and bring the family for a day filled with inflatables, face painting, balloon art, live music, and a ticket giveaway to the Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series race at 3:30. Also, Vandy Baseball is on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, starting at 5:45 today as they take on Florida with first pitch at 6. Vandy Baseball is brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Do not miss Nashville's best 2024 NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 106.3 The Game next Thursday. Stop by Twin Peaks in Madison at 6 o'clock for the 2024 NFL Draft Show. Get the best draft coverage as we break down each pick at the home of the 29 Degree Beer. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor Equipment, ESPN Bet, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And again, everybody's favorite part of draft night is the Jared Stillman reaction. And look, I'm telling you this right now. I am not playing for the crowd. If the Titans draft Joe Alt, I'll be happy. If they draft Brock Bowers, I'll be happy. If they draft Dallas Turner, I'll be happy. If they draft some bozo, we'll go crazy. And that's just how, I guess, you know, how I see it. Okay, Mock Draft 2.0. Just to recap, Chicago at 1 has Caleb Williams. Washington at 2, Drake May. Minnesota at 3, Jaden Daniels. Chicago at 4, trades up, Marvin Harrison Jr. The Chargers, Malik Nabers at 5. The Giants, J.J. McCarthy at 6. Arizona trades with Tennessee from 9. They made the trade with Chicago earlier. To 7, Roma Dunze. Atlanta at 8 goes Dallas Turner. The Titans at 9 take Joe Alt. The Jets at 10 go Brock Bowers. New England at 11 in the trade with Minnesota goes Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. Denver at 12, Michael Penix. The Chargers at 13 go J.C. Latham. New Orleans at 14 goes Thalisse Fuaga. The Colts at 15 go Quinyon Mitchell. Seattle at 16 with Troy Faletanu. Jacksonville at 17 takes Brian Thomas Jr. Cincinnati at 18 takes Amarius Mims. The Rams at 19 go Byron Murphy. Pittsburgh at 20, Jackson Powers Johnson, the center. Dallas trades up to 21 to take Tyler Guyton. Philadelphia at 22 takes Terrion Arnold. New England is now on the clock at 23. And New England's in a tough spot because they made the trade with Minnesota where they didn't want Jaden Daniels or Drake May. So they made the trade with Minnesota. They want J.J. McCarthy. But the Giants sniped him at 6. So at 11, they didn't want to overdraft Michael Penix. They took Olufashinu. They still have needs at receiver and really all across the place, but especially at quarterback. New England at 23 is on the clock, and the pick is in. Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon. Somebody has to play quarterback for the New England Patriots. And they thought they were going to trade down for McCarthy. And when McCarthy went off the board at 6, they said to themselves, well, it's okay because we didn't overdraft him. But now they've only got one other first-round pick. They've got to use it. They've got to have a quarterback. And so they make sure to get in there, and they make sure to take Bo Nix out of Oregon with the 23rd pick. Miami is on the clock. They have received this pick from Dallas in exchange for moving down from 21 at 24, Miami, the pick is in. Graham Barton out of Duke is the pick for Miami. Here's what's crazy about Graham Barton. He can play any position on the offensive line. Here's what's crazy about the Dolphins. They can use help at any position on the offensive line. Teron Armstead, their left tackle, has talked openly about retiring this season. Well, they want to. What are they going to do there? They lost Robert Hunt, their guard, in free agency to Carolina. And, Ian, do you know who the starting center for the Dolphins is right now?
Aaron Brewer!
So they can use help everywhere, and Graham Barton can play it. So that is a perfect match of team, player, need, and trading down and picking up the 87th pick, a third-rounder, in order to get exactly what they need. Great job by Chris Greer at Miami at 24. Green Bay on the clock at 25. And we have a trade. New England trades back into the first round. They deal 34 in the second round, 68 in the third round, and a 2025 second-round pick to move up to take A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas. New England has to get in order to get ahead of Buffalo at 28, which seems like a perfect match for A.D. Mitchell. They need the receiver. They went in with huge needs at wide receiver, quarterback, and wide receiver and left tackle. Fashnu at 11 is their left tackle. Nix at 23 is their quarterback. And now at 25, A.D. Mitchell from Green Bay is their wide receiver. Tampa Bay is on the clock at 26. Shaq Barrett is out. The old defensive line, JPP, gone. Ndamukong Suh, gone. Vita Vea still there. This is an easy pick. Jared Verse out of Florida State. And I think there's some concerns injury-wise with the hips. And I think that has dropped Verse a little bit. But for a pass rusher, 26, it's easy for Tampa Bay. They run that card in there. Jared Verse out of FSU to the Buccaneers at 26. Arizona with their second first-round pick. They traded back from 4 to 9 with Chicago. They traded up to 7 to draft Roma Dunze, and they are on the clock at 27. When you have as many picks as Arizona has, you can take a risk on Leiatu Latu, the pass rusher out of UCLA. If Leiatu Latu had never been injured, Leiatu Latu probably goes in the top 10. But because at one point he was told by doctors he'd never be able to play football again, that is a very, very scary proposition for a general manager to use that first-round pick on such a high injury risk. But knowing that they've already got Roma Dunze, knowing that they now have Chicago's first-round pick in next year's draft after trading back out of 4, and knowing that they still got a high second-rounder, they will take the risk on Leatu Latu at 27 to Arizona, and they hope to get what they lost when they once had J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones together. That puts Buffalo on the clock at 28. Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina, goes off the board at 28. And at this point, it was Leggett versus McConkey versus Worthy. They really want A.D. Mitchell, but they can't have him because he went to New England at 25. Leggett is probably, in my opinion, the best, you know, total package out of that group. Worthy is probably the best runner. McConkey is probably the best route runner. But Leggett can fly. He can play outside. He can take the top off of a defense. He's a big physical receiver, and that's what they need to replace Stephon Diggs to go with Khalil Shakir. Xavier Leggett at 28 to the Buffalo Bills. Detroit is on the clock at 29. They need a pure pass rusher to go opposite Aiden Hutchinson. Chop Robinson out of Penn State is the pick for Detroit at 29. It was easy for them. They got the Ravens behind them. They know the Ravens are going pass rusher. So for Detroit, it was who's the best pass rusher on the board. In this case, it's Chop Robinson. Detroit goes Chop Robinson at 29. The Ravens at 30 go Darius Robinson out of Missouri. And some of you might say, ooh, that's high. Yes. But Robinson had, you know, the tape from what the scouts say is that Robinson is a first-rounder. And there is no team that develops these outside rushers and these defensive ends, these hybrids, these clowny types, like the Baltimore Ravens. Well, Clowney's not there anymore, and they need to replace it. Darius Robinson is their guy at 30. At this point, when you're at 30, you know, it's not the same as 35, but it's similar. And so here Baltimore can go for need, and they get a guy they can develop in Darius Robinson. San Francisco is on the clock at 31. They thought about tackle here, but a lot of the first round tackles are off the board. So San Francisco goes Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner out of Alabama. Now, Kool-Aid McKinstry is probably a top 20 pick if he doesn't show up at the combine with a Jones fracture, but he did. San Francisco has two older corners that will be free agents after this year, and I believe they lost a corner in free agency as well. They need a nickel guy. Kool-Aid McKinstry can be that, and then develop into a full-time starter after this year. Kool-Aid McKinstry, they let the foot heal. He goes to San Francisco at 31, and Kansas City is on the clock at 32. Xavier Worthy feels like the pick here, but it's not. Roger Rosengarten goes out of Washington. They really thought San Francisco was going to go with Rosengarten and put him there at right tackle in place of Colton McKivitz, but instead, Kansas City is going to take Rosengarten, and they are going to try him at left tackle. The reason why, right now, their left tackle is Wanye Morris, a third-rounder they took in last year's draft, and maybe Wanye Morris ends up being their left tackle, but they've got a Jawan Taylor-sized problem right now at right tackle. Taylor's under contract, and he'll be on the team, and they'll hope that they can get better out of him, but the reality is he's probably not going to be there long. Roger Rosengarten out of Washington goes at 32 to Kansas City. So to recap, the mock draft 2.0, Chicago at 1, Caleb Williams, Washington at 2, Drake May, Minnesota trades up to 3, Jaden Daniels, Chicago at 4, trades up with Arizona for Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers at 5 to the Chargers, J.J. McCarthy at 6 to the Giants, Arizona trades up from 9 with Tennessee for Roma Dunze at 7, Atlanta goes Dallas Turner at 8, Tennessee goes Joe Alt at 9. The Jets go Brock Bowers at 10. New England, Olufashinu at 11. Denver, Michael Penix Jr. at 12. The Raiders, J.C. Latham at 13. New Orleans, Thalisse Fuaga at 14. Indianapolis, Quinyon Mitchell at 15. Seattle, Troy Fuatanu at 16. Jacksonville, Brian Thomas Jr. at 17. Cincinnati, Amarius Mims out of Georgia at 18. The Rams, Byron Murphy II at 19. Pittsburgh, Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon at 20. Dallas, in a trade with Miami, goes Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. Philadelphia goes Terrion Arnold out of Alabama at 22. New England with Bo Nix at 23. Miami with Graham Barton out of Duke at 24. New England trades back into the first round for A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Tampa Bay goes Jared Verse out of Florida State. Arizona, Leiatu Latu out of UCLA at 27. Buffalo with Xavier Leggett at 28. Detroit, Chop Robinson at 29 out of Penn State. Baltimore with Darius Robinson out of Missouri at 30. San Francisco goes with Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. And Kansas City goes Roger Rosengarten from Washington at 32. We'll get to your reaction, your thoughts on the Jared Stillman mock draft 2.0 and the Titans making the trade back to 9 with Arizona, picking up 2 third-rounders, 66 and 71, and still getting Joe Alt. 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Love to talk about Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. I love Fireball Whiskey. Goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite the night than to do so with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. I love Fireball Whiskey. Why? Because Fireball Whiskey is the best. So this weekend, when you're celebrating whatever it is you want to be celebrating, be sure to enjoy with Fireball Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
You met with the Titans, right? You were here on a visit?
Yes, I was.
How was that visit? Like, what were some of the things that stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was obviously a great experience overall. I was able to meet with a whole bunch of different people and just got to, you know, learn about them, learn about the process at the Titans and what they, you know, see for me and how they want to me to learn. And being able to meet with both, you know, Coach Brian Callahan and Coach Bill Callahan, and just being able to sit down and talk with them and, you know, assess my game, assess what they see for the future and things like that were very important to me. And, you know, overall, it was a great experience.
Joe Alt on Talking with TD. Joe Alt, by the way, is scheduled to be on the program next week. But Joe Alt sitting there, and everybody's going to want Joe Alt or bust. Don't trade out, take Alt, whatever it takes. In the Jared Stillman mock draft 2.0, I have the Titans trading with Arizona, who trades with Chicago, in order to take Joe Alt, and they pick up 2 third-round draft choices by doing that. And at that point, the Titans will say, hey, we still got the player we wanted, plus the third rounder for Levis, plus the third rounder for Legarius Sneed, but we'll get it this year. And that'll be the deal with Arizona. Now, this is, there is, you know, all of this is contingent upon Arizona making the trade out of 4 with Chicago to get Marvin Jr. Now, the reason I put Chicago there at 4 for Marvin Jr. in the mock draft is because Chicago hosted Marvin Harrison Jr. on a top 30 visit. Chicago needs their top 30 visits, right? Because you still have to fill out your roster. You have the 9th pick. And so it's like, if you're really going to be bringing people in here, not only do you need to hit on your picks, but you got to hit on the 4th rounder and some of these others because you used a 2nd rounder for Montez Sweat. You don't have that. You still need work on your offensive line. And yet they brought Marvin Jr. in. And Marvin Jr. won't work out at Pro Day. He won't work out at the Combine. He won't talk to the teams. You know, he won't talk to people he doesn't want to talk to. Why is Marvin Jr. going to Chicago when we know that they're going to take Caleb Williams? And I believe that that's because Chicago is willing, with all the picks they have, including Carolina's 2nd next year, that they're going to be willing to deal that 1st-rounder to move up with Arizona in order to get Marvin Jr. to be the guy that grows with Caleb Williams. Well, once that happens, Arizona's at 9. And Arizona can stay at 9, and they can get a pass rusher like Dallas Turner or Jared Verse, or maybe get Brock Bowers, but they're set at tackle, and once Malik Nabers goes at 5 off the board, they're going to try to get back up. The Giants don't want to trade that pick because they're going to take J.J. McCarthy, because if they trade that pick, they run the risk of New England jumping them to get J.J. So once J.J. goes off the board to the Giants, Arizona sees Atlanta that has a need at wide receiver and says, let's jump them. Tennessee says Arizona's not taking Joe Alt. Atlanta's not taking Joe Alt. We get two thirds in order to make this deal. And everybody wins. And it reminds me of what the Titans did in the 1996 draft. Because in the 1996 NFL draft, the then Houston Oilers, I guess this was their last draft as the Houston Oilers, the Houston Oilers started the draft with a pretty high first round pick. But they traded back. Because, again, they had a certain player they really, really, really wanted. And so they traded that pick. In the 96 draft. They then traded up after they traded back in order to move up to 16 or 14 to draft Eddie George. If you have the board done correctly and understand how other teams view players, you can make a move down, pick up those picks, again, that are not top 60 picks, so I wouldn't lose an elite player over it. But at that point, you can work that deal, get those picks, and everybody gets the player they want. And if they want to trade down, they want to do that, you will not see me go crazy on draft night. If they end up getting two-thirds because they trade from 7 to 12 and they end up not getting Joe Alt, then I'll go crazy. But I think that that is the best case scenario for the Titans is Chicago brings in Marvin Jr. because they just want him. Well, okay, you want to get from 9 to 3, you got to give me next year's one. Chicago says, screw it. For Marvin Jr., we'll do it. Because by the time we pick at 9, all three receivers might be gone. So let's bite the bullet and let's consider next year's first round pick as Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, then Arizona still needs to get a receiver. They move up. What do they need the extra thirds for? They got another first in this year's draft. They've got a high second this year. Go ahead and make the move. They got Chicago's first next year. Make the move. Joey from Bellevue says, I was expecting the Packers to draft a left tackle. They need it after they signed Andre Dillard. They do. But they've got a pick that filled in last year for Bakhtiari, who may be their left tackle. And I think for Green Bay, again, in the mock draft, I have Green Bay trading out and picking up 34, which is top of the second round, so they can still get Patrick Paul or Kingsley Suamataya, a third rounder at 68, and a second rounder next year. I mean, that is really stocking the cupboard if you're Green Bay. What? Why they signed Andre Dillard, I have no idea. I have no idea why they signed Andre Dillard. One texter said, Jared, who is your ideal pick in the second round if the Titans take Joe Alt? Well, if the Titans take Joe Alt, I would like either Ricky Pearsall, Ladd McConkey, or Xavier Worthy. Now, the difference is that Pearsall and McConkey can play in the slot, and that's where I'd like to put them. But I'm never going to turn down a receiver who can run. And Worthy can run. I also wouldn't rule out the idea of taking a right tackle. If Suamataya is there at 37 and you can take him, I wouldn't rule it out. But as far as like knowing who the corners in the second round are, that's a TD question. That's not a me question. I mean, that is, again, the second round. It's crazy because the second round's important. But I was thinking about this really all week. I've never been like this into the top of the draft. And then I realized because ever since the Titans picked Corey Davis in 2017, they haven't been that high. And no offense to me, but in 2017, I was a baby sportscaster in 2017. You know, I was doing afternoon drive in Nashville at 27 years old, which was really cool. But I had a lot to learn. It's like when I heard Bill Polian talk about kind of the 4 years of a quarterback, you know, the first year, just get in and out of the huddle. The second year, you got to start reading the defense. The third year, you've got to start using your players and knowing what they can do. The fourth year, you need to really be able to manipulate defenses and take advantage of what they're giving you and things like that. And the fifth year, you need to be able to run the team without a coach telling you what to do. I think doing talk radio is the same way. So in 2017, I was kind of a baby sportscaster, and I probably didn't totally understand as a talk host exactly, you know, how to get into the draft and how to do it, what to do with it. And I got to tell you, I love these players. Like, I'm going to be sad when the first round's over. And then I'll get excited for the second round. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Roman Josi came on our show ahead of the Predators' trip to Vancouver. They'll play Sunday night. Roman Josi came on the show, and he said something that I don't think is very true. We'll get to that coming up next here on our program. Hey, the NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason. So it only seems right that new customers on my official sportsbook app, FanDuel, can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. That's right, play in tonight. Three-pointers made, over-under point total, first basket score, and more, and really everything you can bet they've got. Just go to FanDuel.com/JGM to get started. That's FanDuel.com/JGM. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. It seems like Quinn Hughes is probably going to win the Norris Trophy, and you're probably going to finish second. Is there something, you know, knowing that the voting and everything else is going to be over, is there kind of, in your mind, this sense of showing everybody who really might be the best defenseman in the NHL?
No, not really, to be honest. All I want to do is win the series, and that's the main thing. And obviously, he's a big part on that team, so we got to make sure we shut him down. And I mean, he's a great defenseman, and he's had an unbelievable year. And I mean, I love watching him play. He's a great skater. He's great offensively. He makes great plays. So like, he's definitely a big part. So our goal is gonna shut him down. But yeah, it's not really between me and him. It's Preds against Vancouver, and yeah, as long as we get the win, that's all I can ask for.
There you go. That was Roman Josi on our show yesterday on the Preds playoff preview show saying, no, this isn't about me versus Quinn Hughes. This isn't about the fact that he's going to win the Norris Trophy and I'm going to finish second. And I don't have an opinion, by the way, as to who the better defenseman is because I don't watch Quinn Hughes play. So I can't tell you he's better than Josi or not. I will have an opinion this time next week. But Josi said it, and then I kind of made a comment at the end afterwards. I said, so you're the better player, right? I'm kidding, and we all laughed. But Hal Gill was on the show later on the Preds playoff preview show, and he said, yeah, you know how Josi said that he's not worried about showing everybody that he's better than Quinn Hughes? Yeah, he's lying.
I heard you guys talking to Josi. There's no way he doesn't want to prove that he's the best defenseman in the world. There's no way. I just know he'll never say it because he's such a great guy, but he wants to be the best. He wants to show and not because he wants to be the best, but he wants to be the – and what he said is – I want the team to win. Basically, what he was saying is, I want to be the best on the best team to prove that I'm the best defenseman.
I mean, I don't even think that Hal needed to couch it like that at the end about, you know, he wants to prove I'm on the best team and my team. First of all, I know that Roman Josi's number one goal is to win. But I absolutely think that Roman Josi's going to be on a mission in this series to prove that he should have won that Norris Trophy. And unlike the Cale Makar series a couple years ago, Josi's got firepower on his team to be able to prove it. And so to me, like, that gets me excited. Like, that gets me, okay, you know, we got some real juice in this series. And I'll say this about Vancouver. I don't know a lot about them. You know, yesterday I was glad that we had their color analyst on. You know, Max was able, I guess, you know, Max, the broadcasters, they know each other. Max was booked their color analyst. The guy told me a bunch about their team that I didn't already know, you know, that I didn't know. And I was glad because I really don't know a lot about them. But I know that by Sunday, you know, at 11:30 at night, we'll have a pretty good idea of what the Predators are going up against. But I absolutely think that if Quinn Hughes is a slam dunk for the Norris and he's going to win it, after the second half of the season that Roman Josi had, Roman Josi ought to have a chip on his shoulder. He ought to prove all those voters wrong. And that gets me excited because I love how, unlike years past, the Predators had guys that I couldn't, you know. The Predators had guys like Duchesne and Johansson and Arvidsson and, like, guys that I just can't count on. Forsberg, Yossi, O'Reilly, I can count on those guys. And that gets me incredibly excited. Ian, I want you to X the phones right now. I don't want anybody to cheat. We did promise we'd give away a pair of tickets for game one next Friday night. Who is free Friday night?
Game three, technically.
What's that?
Game three.
Yeah, game three. Home game one is what it would say on the ticket if they printed tickets like they used to back in the day.
I miss those.
I don't. Don't like leaving, you know, I'll leave them under the mat. I'll put them in the mailbox. I'll leave them at will call. I don't like, you know, now I just text you the ticket. I gave you a keyword. I said, tell Ian that keyword. First person that tells Ian that keyword is going next Friday night. Clear your calendar. You will be joining us at Bridgestone Arena for what will be an early start time, 6:30. Hallelujah. For that 6:30 start next Friday. So good luck. Give Ian that keyword. Ian, unleash the hounds. Chad Withrow joins us next. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, 102.5, 106 for the game.